So we are on the energy sector this afternoon. We are heavy on the energy sector. And so we'll take you to the ECG office here in Accra, where the management is expected to address a news conference on several issues relating to energy. The erratic power supply that we are experiencing, of course, the resignation as well. But before we do all of that, also in the studio is another issue, also has a relationship with the energy, but this time it's about a protest. Now, the workers, you know, the Volta River Authority are stepping up their opposition to government proposed measure of the VRA and the Bui Power Authority. Now, joining me in the studio for a discussion, Mauto Hudson Adepa, right? Okay, now he is the senior staff branch chairman for TEMA, and Jerry Nelson, Nete, also the national treasurer. So you held demonstrations across the country last week.
Yes.
So why? I'm sure I was thinking that we end it.
Well, no. Elton.
Okay, so let me start with Mr.
Mauto. Please.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Mm. And good afternoon. I don't think it was a demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
It was a prayer. A prayer to actually not to demonstrate, but we prayed within our premises. We didn't go to demonstrate. As mm-hmm. the word you demonstrate, no, we didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
At least we went in to pray to God. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Jerry,
yes,
in addition. So Jerry, why this opposition? Everybody, the world around, I mean, everybody and organizations are put in place so that they can pursue efficiency.
Sure.
And I'm guessing probably this is probably the reason why government wants to embark on this. Because why are you against this measure?
The government has mentioned in the bills, in the proposed bills, that they want to bring efficiency into hydro generation. We are against this because it's not an issue. Efficiency, as far as hydro generation, is not an issue. Mm-hmm. Nyeri has been in this business for well over 60 years. And for all the statistics that are available, Nyeri has proven that we are efficient at this particular business. In documents that we have chanced upon, the main aim of these mergers mm-hmm. is just to carve out our thermal generation assets and just sell them. So you always hear of mergers. Everybody would have said, why are these people against mergers?
Mm-hmm.
It's not mergers per se, because they are taking away over 1,000 megawatts of our generation assets and then giving us Bui Power, which is just about 400 megawatts. And this is even a peaking plant. When I say peaking plant,
water... You only work in the evening. In the evenings.
Yes. Exactly. You do understand. So it's not actually the 400, that's the installed capacity. But yeah, sometimes you get about 100. Recently, they were even down to about 12.
Yes.
Because of the amount of water that is behind the dam that they can use to generate. So it's not a merger per se, but we call it a dismemberment of VRA. Mm. That is why we are against this particular merger. Also, if these plants are sold to the private man, we know there are actors out there who are, ready to pick up these plants. The common Ghanaian is going to pay more for this, for the power. Because IPPs, we know the price that IPPs sell today
mm-hmm.
to the ordinary Ghanaian, and the price at which VRA sells to the ordinary Ghanaian is way lower than what the IPPs do sell. So if it's going to go private, what is the argument in there that it's going to be cheaper? It's not going to be. And that is why we are against these.
So Mr. Mauto, you are saying that government hasn't considered all of these and taken this decision. You guys are workers of the entity.
Yeah.
Government takes decision, and governors of the view that it will inure to the benefit of the country, and you have a position against it.
Yes, please. In the first place, we also heard it even just on Joy News on that evening around 5:30 p.m. We were surprised, we were shocked for hearing that the proposed bill was in parliament without even our consultation, management not having an idea, nobody knowing nothing about it. We heard it on the news just like any ordinary Ghanaian.
My understanding with with parliament practices is that usually when a bill is introduced and is referred to a committee, the committee not advertised for people to bring in inputs. So perhaps the issue of consultation, we were yet to get there.
No, but still we thought, in the first place, we have a ministry. The ministry could have at least got us involved. Our management is there. We, the staff as well, we are also stakeholders. We're also not involved. We're not being asked at all whatever for us to bring our input. You just came in with a bill. If it had gone through that day, it had been a different thing altogether. We do not have even probably considered as actually giving them our input for them to consider it. We are not fighting for ourselves, but for Ghanaians as a whole is our concern. Not we ourselves, but Ghanaians. You and I, the one on the street. As my brother just said, our tariffs are far lower than that of the IPPs. Why then do you want to give it out to a private person who will now increase the suffering of the Ghanaians? Will it be to your benefit or to an individual's benefit? This is why we feel this bill is not proper for us.
As and is this your only concern, that if it is given to a private person, the price of power will go up? Is that your only concern? That shouldn't really be of major concern to you.
Thank you. That's not our only concern. As my brother said earlier, VRA has been in existence for the past 63 years. We started operating thermal as well for the past 27 years ago. What happened? We have been effective, efficient in all our operations. Nobody has complained about us. In the past, just about a month and a half ago, IPPD threatened government to shut down. If they had shut down, VRA would have still been operating. Do you want to add more megawatts to IPPDs for them to shut down, for the Ghanaian man to suffer? Is that what we are trying to do? Than giving having the state-owned VRA to operate? I don't think we have ever threatened or asked that we are going to shut down or put any plan down for Ghanaians to suffer. We have never done that. But the IPPD, because they are private, what happened? They do whatever they want to do. My VRA have stood and have stand on their feet for all these years without any challenge or any problem.
But Jerry, why don't you wait for the process to take off, and then you can possibly understand the content of it? I don't know whether you have the full facts. That is my understanding. Probably you don't have all the full facts.
We do have the facts. We've chanced on a technical report that was written to government through the ministry when government took this decision to actually go this way. And what
does it say?
VRA is supposed to be a holding company. If these companies are subsidiaries under VRA, the current mergers that we see are wholly separate authorities which would operate, separately from the VRA. And there's
another hydro authority, we are told, will be the mother company.
No, that is in the technical report. But what we are seeing in these bills is not it. The Ghana Hydro Authority is a separate authority. Ghana Thermal Power Authority is a separate authority. There is no relationship between the two. And technically, that is going to be a challenge for the power system. That is how come we are saying that, no, let us go back and then go back to at least the Tenkar report. Let's look at what because these are Tenkar guys who have looked at the entire energy value chain.
And they've said what exactly?
Yes, that's why I said that. They said that it should be, VRA should be a holding company with these thermal generation as a subsidiary, hydro as a subsidiary, and the renewables as subsidiaries under them. In here, the companies are related. They are sister companies, and they will work better than what we have here. I heard, just in waiting for this particular one, I was hearing of challenges within the power sector.
Of course. The ECG, they put up a statement together with Greco, admitting to what we are experiencing and saying that there's some kind of shortage of gas supply in the system. The reason why we are experiencing the power supply.
There are several actors that we need not bring in so many of these actors. We believe that VRA was structured in based on one of these other companies in the U.S., that's the Tennessee Valley Authority. And in there, it's an integrated, a whole integrated chain. And it's working perfectly. These IPPs came in to help, yes. And with that, we had to amend the VRA Act and all that, in order to take away even our transmission system from us. All that. With all these arrangements, it brings in a few, some challenges, which affects the entire power system. Now, if we have to even go to grid co and then do something, we have to go through a whole different chain. Hitherto, it would have been just at a phone call, say, okay, can we do this? Can we do A? Can we do B? Can we do C? And quickly, it's seamless. But currently, with all these actors, we have individual interests in there. I've seen Gridco, ECG send some notice to the general public that there is power shortage. We know what we know.
Okay.
We cannot say everything on air, but we know that it could have been better. But for some of these independent power producers and then individuals having interest in there, it wouldn't have happened this way. At least we know that ENI, they're having challenges from the supply side of gas. But especially even our Umasu plant should be online today. But we claim that there are power challenges. Just because of a challenge.
I'll come back so that we can talk about that as well. And then also want to ask you, so what is next after your step-up protests across your operating areas? But let me bring in Edward Bauer. He is a member of the Mines and Energy Committee of Parliament. Mr. Bauer, good afternoon. Welcome to the Pulse.
Good afternoon. Hi.
I'm great, and it's good to have you here. So we're having a discussion around the energy sector. I have in the studio some senior staff members of the VRA. They have their own concerns. But this afternoon also, we are dealing with a very important issue, and it relates to power supply. Now, there are two issues here. Now, there's an admission that there's a shortfall of gas in the system. The reason why we are experiencing some intermittent power supply in some areas, you know, operated by the ECG. There's also the resignation of the MD of the ECG. And as we have been told, the board is in an emergency meeting after which they will address the media, they will address the news conference to tell us the way forward regarding two issues: the resignation of the MD and, of course, what the board is doing to deal with the shortfall of gas in the system. What is your reaction to the two matters that we have on our table this afternoon?
My first reaction is that it's unfortunate that for a country that has the capacity to, as it were, ensure that there's reliability of supply of power to its citizens, that we still find ourselves in the way we do. It is just because of the fact that beyond just not being very smart with the way we manage the sector, it has also been bedeviled with corruption and what have you. And I explain to you why. So first, for the power crisis that we have now, maybe the shortage of power supply that we have now, basically it's a question of fuel. Now, Gridco and then ECGs, they had a joint, press statement that was issued yesterday.
Right.
Where they talk about the fact that there's shortage of gas coming from the Ghana Gas Company. And besides that, also, of course, ENI, we also know that they are producing less than their capacity. So therefore, there's a shortfall. Even as a country, when we have all our gas supplies intact, for example, getting all the full complement from ENI and that of Ghana Gas, we still have a deficit of about 50 million scf. And so to have, and that usually is augmented by Nigeria and then some pitches of LCO for some of the plants that can run dual fuel. So to have a situation where even these ones that, even at their full complement, we are unable to get indigenous gas to power all our power plants, it makes it a bit difficult. But look, my brother, I have consistently stated, and Elton, I think that in some previous interviews that we've had, I have indicated that we are just living in a time bomb. That irrespective of whichever government wins elections on December 7th, 2024, that party coming into government in 2025 January will walk straight into a power crisis. Because this is a sector that is bedeviled with debt. And I'll explain to you. So now, you recall that there's, and I'm just trying to dovetail that to the ECG's MD's resignation.
Right.
You recall that just last week, there was a statement that was brought up, that was issued by PURC.
Right.
Even though later on they came and gave some further and better particulars as to the basis for their statement.
Mm.
This statement actually emanated from ECG. And it is because of the fact that, look, if you look, when ECG is unable to account for the power they procure from all the generators. Now, even with the small that they have they collect as a result of sales to you and I as customers. They have a challenge in even accounting for that. So as a country, and this started at the latter part of John Mahama's government and the current government's issue, that we form what we call the cash waterfall mechanism. The cash waterfall mechanism has two levels. They have what we call the level A. And the level A is made up of the IPPs and WAPCO. Or WAPCO transmits power from the western part of Ghana to the eastern enclave where we have most of our thermal plants.
Right.
So they are the category A's. So what it simply means is that when the money comes, they will have to be dealt with first. And now, and the truth of the matter is that if you look, let's just suggest the IPPs. If the IPPs, for example, invoice ECG, the amount of money they are supposed to pay on monthly basis, ECG is unable to meet it. But there has been an arrangement as part of this, their debt restructuring program, that irrespective of how much we invoice you, guarantee us $47 million every month so that at least the players within the IPPs will be able to get theirs. Mm. And that on the same strength, what do you call it? They will, WAPCO, of course, obviously will be down to it. Now, you have a situation where even beyond just that, the remainder, assuming that ECG were collecting, assuming that their collection rates were very good, if there's collection rates, let's assume that even their collection rates was around 90% or thereabout. What would then happen would be that after they have settled the category A people, the remainder will now be used to distribute among the category B, which is made up of the state-owned agencies within the energy sector. Mm. So VRE, GRIDCO, BUI, and what have you. Now, because usually the amount that will be left for the category B, there is a shortfall, it will not meet the amount that has been invoiced ECG by these state-owned agencies. So the arrangement within that mechanism is that government of Ghana then, that central government, will then augment that with about between $200 and $300 million.
In fact, if you check, according to the PRC, the Ministry of Finance under this deal is expected to top it up with $10 million, but that has not been happening.
Yeah, so that's the argument I've just tried to make to you. So if you look at the arrangement now, one, ECG is not able to collect enough even to take care of the category A players. Mm. The category B, they don't even get anything. Now, government of Ghana, who is supposed to augment this shortfall with their part of the contribution because of the losses of ECG and because government of Ghana is the sole shareholder, and therefore they will have to step in when the company has a problem. And two, by virtue of the fact that government of Ghana itself is a user of power, and therefore all the MMDAs will also need to be able to also pay for their power. And most of these companies or these agencies do not actually provide budgetary lines for energy costs. And so because of that, government is supposed to do that. Over the period, government has not been doing those things. So you see that BUI currently has challenged financial issues. You see that GRIDCO has issues. You see, in fact, VRA equally is supposed to have issues. The lack with VRA is that they also have a component from foreign sales of power, and therefore the foreign exchange they get a bit makes them put them in a better position as compared to other companies within the energy sector at the category B. Mm. And so these were the reasons why PURC, and for that matter, the immediate past MD wrote to the presidency that if you do not do anything about this, the ECG will have ECG and other companies will have to file for bankruptcy in any case, virtually. Because I have always stated that if ECG, for example, were to be a private company, it shouldn't have been in existence by now. Mm. It should have filed for bankruptcy and disappeared.
Okay.
So because of all this, these are the challenges that have created all these problems. So yes, the problem that we have today, and look, Elton, I tell you one thing, and I have had this banter with Ghana Gas. Do you recall that just a few weeks ago, Ghana Gas went through maintenance regime? I don't know that you know about it.
Yes, of course, the issue has been to that effect. Yes.
Yes. And even though the cost, they have not been transparent with the cost, our insider information seems to suggest that the cost for even the maintenance was hugely ballooned. Even with that.
But how much do you have the figures?
Yes, I had indicated, because my source had indicated that it was around $35 million.
For the maintenance?
For the maintenance. And when I confronted the Ghana Gas CEO at a parliamentary committee meeting that was just held about 2 weeks ago, he said it was around 5.7 million. I needed evidence of it. As I speak to you today, he has not been able to provide the evidence. Okay. Meanwhile, Ghana Gas, the asset that is at trouble now, is not also fully functional. Talk to the members there, and they will tell you that there is a technical problem still even with that. And so, every bit of our energy sector is being, what do you call it?
If you like, suffocating under debts and under, inefficiency. But Ms. Abawa, if you can hear me, because I understand that you need to move on.
Yeah, I can hear.
Yes, so a few issues came up. Yes. I mean, yesterday, the resignation of Samuel Dobik Mahama, I don't know what you make of, he's just one person. His resignation, obviously, will not automatically resolve every challenge ECG is facing. Now, because we referenced the PRC letter, the PRC in making its own recommendation to the minister and, of course, to the president of the republic, make reference to examples around the continent, Kenya, Uganda, and, of course, Tanzania, where their involvement of private sector in some aspect of the operations of their public power producer turn things around. I don't know if you support this partial privatization, if you like. And now that Dobik Mahama is out of the way, leaving office effectively on October 7th, the board is meeting and to tell us the way forward. What should happen now?
You know that this was exactly, you see, what the prescription that PRC gave is not new to Ghana.
Mm.
You recall that even under John Mahama, just the latter part of it, we took advantage of the Compact 2 and said that we're going to use that to take care of the power sector, particularly the distribution end, which was the weakest link of our, if you look at the key functional issues of the power subsector.
Mm.
Now, you also recall that the basis for that was that, look, we were supposed to first make sure that we improve on the infrastructure of these particular utilities and then leverage on private sector capital and private sector expertise to be able to improve on the efficiency of ECG and, of course, the other utilities in any way.
Right.
This was exactly what we started with, and then we handed over to this government. Just based on simple procurement, under the PDS agreement, we lost $190 million. And two, we also failed in getting what they call the private sector to come into play a role. So the prescriptions given by PRC is not new to Ghana.
Mm.
The only reason why it is not operational today, and we are having this conversation, is because a group of people from one family wanted to benefit from it, and we lost money for that. And the most painful part of this whole story is that just 2 weeks ago, we then had to engage the IDA, the International Development Agency, for a loan of $250 million with an interest to perform the role we're supposed to use, the $190 million. That was free. That is the situation that we've had. So the prescription of PURC is something that Ghanaians would have, even maybe the power sector would have been even one of the early people to implement this. And you know that it forms part of what we call the power sector reforms.
All right.
That was supported by the World Bank. That talked about the fact that diversify, what do you call it, the distribution end, diversify the generation end, let the transmission end be neutral and be state-owned so that there will be a level playing field for both the distributors and the generators. This was part of the power sector reforms that was initiated under the NDC. So there's no big challenge within that particular sector. I don't know if that making sense.
And briefly on the resignation of the MD and the way forward for you especially.
So first and foremost, he didn't perform. If you came into a government, if you came into a utility, and in that particular utility, your losses have moved from roughly around 1. Something billion to about 10 billion to about 10 billion in 2022. You didn't even have a business day in there. And
he managed to reduce technical losses from 30% to 26.7%.
That cannot be true. Who is validating this figure? Look, how on earth can he say, for example, that you have a reduction in losses? When, even after implementing the digital platform that he had under with the arrangement with Hoptel, your average collection rate is around 43%. When your benchmark that has been given to you by PURC is around 98%.
Mm.
So it tells you very clearly that it is not only Dubik who has to go. The board that is currently meeting, they have no business meeting. They should pack their things and leave the place. They have no business being there. They have failed the company. ECG is a milking cow, and people are simply loading and padding their pockets using what they call it, the state entity. And so, look, my brother, this is your thing, Elton. You know me and you who have had this conversation many, many, many times.
Of course.
That place is, ECG is a crime scene that has to be dealt with and dealt with very clearly.
Okay. Thank you very much, Edward Bauer. He's a member of the Mines and Energy Committee. Now, I will take you to the ECG office shortly because the news conference is about to start. But before we do that, let me bring you back to the studio. So, Jerry, for you, you will not compromise on your stance. You are simply against any proposals to merge VRA and Bui.
Not just simply against any proposal. As I told you, I'll go back to my technical report. We are receptive of some changes because we believe that that's how companies are going to grow. I mean, we are 60-something years old, and we need to bring in some changes. But these drastic change is not the way to go, per the technical report that we have cited. Now, we are saying that VRA should be set up as a holding company with all these generation mixes being subsidiaries under one holding company. Mm. You know what? I think I heard Edward Bauer speak.
That VRA is under the category B.
Yeah. The major challenge in there
I wonder how this is affecting.
It's mismanagement of the cash
waterfall mechanism
within that sector. Look, the money that is reserved for the IPPs in the category A or tier one group, we've seen letters or recited letters that is saying that this $45 million is going to be increased or should be increased to $59.5 million.
Right.
Dollars. I mean, how that in today's even exchange, foreign exchange is around 960 million Ghana cedis. ECG does not collect in a month.
But the ECG is under this mechanism, it's supposed to collect 1 billion Ghana cedis.
Yes.
So if what you are saying is it should be the yardstick,
yes,
then clearly the category A will take everything.
There's nothing,
and there will be nothing left for Gridco, VRA, and Bui. The reason why we are picking information, Bui, for example, you know, yes, Gridco, for example, find it difficult sometimes to even pay salaries on time.
Yeah.
You wanted to chip in on that?
Yeah, not only on that. You know, as we are discussing and as Mr. Bauer just said about the ECG situation. Now, VRA as well, we're talking about NETCO. NETCO is a subsidiary of VRA.
Okay. And Mr. Bauer, just 1 second, because I've just been told that the board chair of ECG, Honorable Alexander Fenyomarkin, the majority leader, is addressing the media. Let's listen in.
Okay, very well, that's short. It's not enough on some of the challenges.
Right, so we'll take you back. We are facing some technical challenges with the connection from the ECG head office, and here we'll rectify it and take you back so that we can hear the position of the board on the resignation of Samuel Dubik Mahama. Mr. Mauto, you were making a point.
Thank you very much. As I was just saying, now NETCO is part of VRA or a subsidiary of VRA.
Mm.
Now we know the challenge ECG is facing now. As part of the proposed bill, you want to merge ECG with NETCO. NETCO is a vast area. ECG is unable to even collect their small debts around a certain area. But if you add NETCO to it, can they manage NETCO, which is very vast, with its challenges, which NETCO VRA is able to manage up to now?
Mm.
It means you want the worst to happen to ECG or to happen to the country if you should merge NETCO with ECG. This is a very crucial issue which government must consider seriously. As far as making NETCO and ECG.
Is in any way resulting in tension among you, the workforce?
In fact, our workers, we are on the job. We go to work every day. We do our work as is expected of us.
Mm.
At break time, on Wednesdays and Fridays, we do in our prayer sessions,
yes,
where we just try to bring these things up.
Mm.
We're going to step it up. If we don't get very good response from the government, we know Parliament is in recess.
Yes, we'll be back in October.
Sure. Yeah, we'll be back in October. So, I mean,
when you say you're going to step it up, what exactly will you be doing?
In fact, it's best, some time back, somebody asked me the same question. I said that when you're playing cards, I mean, you always have to keep your cards.
You can't disclose
all your cards on the table. So, but we have series. What I can tell you is that we'll do possibly a presser before Parliament comes back into session. And then we hope that by that time, because we petition the presidency, we petition the vice, the speaker, and then, I mean, other important players within the sector. And we hope that, I mean, government is going to rescind this decision. These bills will not see the light.
And have you gotten a response from the sector ministry, the presidency, regarding your concerns with the proposal?
Not. Just the little wind we've heard is that he is likely to meet us sometime next week. And we hope that...
The president?
No, not the president, the sector minister.
Okay.
The sector minister. So we hope that within that meeting, we're going to put all our issues across, and then we're going to have a dispatch.
But if there are challenges with the running of VRA and government approach is not what you accept, then how then do we make it even more efficient?
We've said that on this table that it's not about efficiency. It's about management of cash within the sector.
And because we are the money man, and Edward Bauer's concerns, ECG is about to address energy conflict, obviously we'll touch on the cash waterfall mechanism. Yes. Greenco, they've made it clear that they are suffocating under debt because of ECG's inability to collect and pay them. What is the story with VRA?
VRA is suffering same. The only relief sometimes we get is that we have, as he mentioned, NETCO, where we sell power to, from the Brongahafo areas all the way to the north, Tamale, Boga area, Boku area. So it helps a little bit with liquidity. But other than that, I mean...
VRA, what about export of power?
Yes, we do some exports. You know, remember,
food prices are just too high. Kamala Harris has a plan to bring costs down. She'll work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gouging on food. Donald Trump, on the other hand, he'd impose what is effectively a national sales tax, a Trump tax on food, gas, and more. It'll cost a typical family $3,900 a year. We can't afford to go back. We need a president who fights for us. That's Kamala Harris.
Paid for by Harris for President.
The president
there was a directive when we were having the power issues that we should
come down, and then as such we have reduced our exports, but some little exports do go. There's some conversation too in there where we know independent power producers who are also interested in the export market, but I always ask that, okay, why did the IPPs come into being? Why did they come into Ghana? They came into Ghana to help the energy sector. So how come they want to stay in Ghana, use Ghana's gas, generate and sell to some other people outside the country? That is a question for us all within the sector and then the industry to really digest, think through, and find solutions to some of these things. I mean, individuals should not benefit from the national cake. Everybody needs to benefit from that.
Mr. Mato?
Yes. In addition, as we are discussing about these IPPs as well, and as they wanted to even move to the export market, one, their arrangement is take or pay. What it just means simply is that
even if you don't use the power, you still have to pay for it.
If you don't use the power, you still pay for it. What kind of agreement is this? Do you want us to add our thermal plants to them? So when they don't even use the plant is available, the individual in your homes, in your offices, you must keep paying more for that. Is that what you want to do? This is a question you should ask them. Unlike VRA, the one you actually take is what you pay for. If you take 5 megawatts, you pay for under 5 megawatts. But in the IPPDs, who are actually operating now, this is that you take or you pay. Is that either you operate, you don't operate self, we are compelled to pay you. Government ECG is compelled to pay you. That's why at the end, ECG has so much debt to pay because of this take or pay.
Mm.
It's the major major challenge which we must all try to deal with. But if you want to add the thermal to them, it means that the worst will happen.
Mm.
As we are now complaining here and there about ECG unable to pay, it means they want to add more thermal to it. Abuazi will be added. Thermal have 2 plants, KTPS and TTPC will be added to it. How can they manage it? They will add Ahumasu, Kumasi to it. You can see the challenge ahead.
But what is happening to the Kumasi plant? The one at Ahumasu.
It's suffering same, the gas. I mean, the gas challenges that we are having. But as I told you earlier on, It's supposed to work. We are supposed to have gas. We are supposed to have gas, at least with even the challenges that the Awomaso plant is supposed to work. But because of selfishness, because of some individuals who are within the system, you know a lot about it, but if you know the kind of arrangement with a gas pipeline that is moving from the west all the way to Kumasi, you would understand what I'm saying. People are not being truthful and not being fair as far as the management of the pipeline is concerned. But maybe that is another conversation for another day.
Mm.
Yes, because of that, we are having challenges.
So there's actually a constant supply of gas. That plant won't work. Basically, that's what
if there's constant supply, yes, without constant supply, the plant won't work. Because
Since its inauguration up until today, it's never worked.
Oh, no, it's worked. It's been working. I mean, it was just shut down, I think, in September 20th.
Yeah.
Just September 20th. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying that there is gas in the pipeline, it should work, but those who claim they operate that pipeline have
questions to answer.
There is one of the IPPs that is currently an operator of a gas pipeline. It's a generator. It's getting, I mean, very cheap prices for Ghana's gas as against what all the other players pay. So that is for me is a serious challenge, and it's something that we need to have a discussion around and then see how best we can.
Have you raised it as VRA, as an entity?
CSOs have raised it. Your guys have raised it before. I mean, the net back pricing, what Gensa pays. I mean, Gensa pays for gas. I believe you are very much aware of that. And that is one of the reasons that is affecting the plants now. Yes, we have gas challenge, but I'm saying that Awomaso should be working. If you ask me, Awomaso should be working now.
Okay. In wrapping up, Mr. Malto, as we begin to wrap up.
As far as the gas is concerned, you know, we actually signed an agreement with WAPCO. And that's the West African gas
pipeline.
Exactly. What happened? If you give our thermal out, who actually controls it? Our VRA, then who signed that agreement? Currently, we receive gas from Nigeria. That is why our plants today are currently at even TTPC is working. By 4 p.m., KTPS at thermal will pick up as well at boom. Will pick up. Plus, others are down. Sometimes we have to streamline things and make sure government does the right thing. Not to only have interest in privatization, giving it out. The state also needs to own something. How many state institutions from Nkrumah time have still existing up to today? Can you tell me, Elton? But VRA, we should be praising this, praising the engineers, all stars, for all that we are doing so far for Ghana from day one till now.
All right, Jerry, so as we wrap up, what will be your final take to your colleagues who are listening and, of course, to government officials?
What I would tell my colleagues is that they should... as we've said, as leaders, that our red bands are still up. We are not coming down until these bills also come down. So they should remain resolute. Everybody should be at his desk and do his work. And we'll be getting back to them as to the series of activities that we want to put in place as we see the situations change. We believe that government will listen and then... let's go back to the drawing board. Even before these things go to parliament, we need to have a discussion around it and see how best we can carve out acts that can assist or help the entire value chain. One other thing that I mentioned, the increase of from $45 million to $59.5 million, is just because Asogli is coming online. And then one other plant is also coming online. I mean, just for their capacity charges. That is how come ECG is requesting that they increase the money that is reserved per month for these IPPs from $45 million to $59.5 million. That is what he spoke about. I mean, the take-or-pay arrangement. Because of that, we have to increase that capacity charges for these IPPs.
Okay.
But I'm saying that when VRA controls the thermal bit, I mean, we just have a little around 50% of the power market within the country. And I mean, we are going to manage it, or we'll be managing it best. And as such, VRA should not be dismembered. We are receptive of some restructuring, but let's have that discussion before we go in with all these bills. I mean, these bills will not inure to the benefit of the ordinary Ghanaian, and even Ghana for that matter.
All right, thank you so much, Jerry and Mauto from the Volta River Authority, and someone will say, Aluta, continue hunting.
Thank you very much.
Until this matter is off the table.
Yeah. But I wish to thank all members, all staffs, both unionized staff as well as the senior staff, even our own management too. We should thank even our retirees and all who are supporting us. We'll not let them down, but we'll fight to the last end.
Thank you so much for coming. But let me take you back to the office of the ECG. Let's get the latest on the news conference. James Savage joins me on the line. So, James, tell us what transpired. So we'll bring James back on as we bring finality to this discussion around the energy sector. We'll try and reach him on the phone to tell us that the board chairman was in the process of addressing a news conference. We had technical issues. We want to understand the way forward. There's an issue of gas supply that is not reliable, resulting in power supply that is also becoming an issue. There's a resignation that letter was served on the board chair of the ECG, Alexander Fejemaken, and he's been addressing the media. James Avegi is a man on the ground. We'll bring him on, and then we can wrap up on this conversation around the energy sector. All right, so we'll take a short break and return with more here on The Pulse.
Last name is you. If the arrangers in the exam hall, I'm part of the last. If you write the exam finish, me at the chop last.
I come from a home where there are certain things that you want. Once there you want, but you won't get.
I have that mindset that there would be another Ori Kwampo for Sunday. You can't fight. It's the same with football. Messi was on top. So now there's Kylian Mbappe.
Wow.
The day I go to sleep, I'll calm down.
These days I speak to people and like, I don't want to work for anybody. I don't want to. That sounds amazing. But how long would you be able to sustain if you are not a student of organization, a student of structure?
I paid for my tutorials when I was learning. $300, $250. I'll teach everybody everything. You come internship. Whatever it is, there's no hidden thing.
You dare not read an announcement on Joy FM on Doreen Andor's watch where you mispronounce a word or a name. She doesn't care whether you're on air. She would give it to you.
How do you navigate people who feel that oppressed, especially people from your background?
Friendship is an exchange of value. I can't be your friend and I'm only giving you. Yeah. That's what people don't want to understand. We're only sitting here talking because I get to show myself on your platform. You get to also get my time out to provide something.
It makes sense.
Even with this NGO that I'm doing, I've put in a lot of work, I've put in a lot of time, my own resources, and I can speak with my whole chest that my father has not given me like big money that Siguen used to do this. My father has not done that.
People are insecure due to comparison and due to what they've been exposed to. You don't have a car, but as soon as your friend gets a car, that's a problem.
I look at my friends, I look at what they are doing, I look at what they are putting in. I don't want to be that guy that's always waking up and asking people for money. No.
Welcome back to the Pulse here on Joy News. Now, our pressure is this afternoon mounting for a review of a two-week remand decision of the Accra Circuit Court for the Democracy Hub demonstrators to be detained in prison cells. Now, first is the flag bearer of the NDC, John Dramani Mahama. In a statement, the former president says the decision of the High Court is high-handed and an abuse of the rights of the demonstrators. And we've got exactly what he put across for you. Now, the Center for Democratic Development, CDD Ghana, is also taking on the Ghana Police Service over what they say is unlawful tactics employed by the police in recent arrest and detention of some 40 citizens in the Stop the Galamse Now demonstration over the weekend. And the CDD, they've got a statement. Also, is Amnesty International. They've also joined in demanding immediate review of the decision and compensation for those they claim were unlawfully arrested. The country director, has also been speaking. Let me take you to the Accra Circuit Court, where some of the protesters went to court today, and they've been arraigned. My colleague, Kenneth Jesse, will join us shortly. Kenneth, if you can hear me, what is the situation now? Oliver Bakavoma was in court. Tell us what happened in court this afternoon. All right, so let me bring in the Deputy Attorney General, Alfred Chuanyebua, who also has some concerns to share on this developing story. Mr. Chuanyebua, good afternoon. Welcome to the Pulse.
Good afternoon, my brother.
So the states, and if I talk about it, perhaps the Attorney General office has come under some criticism. First is the claim by Amnesty International and some other identifiable groups that you are holding in custody a pregnant woman. And those in custody are also being denied their rights to food, to medical care, and other things that should come naturally, even though they are behind bars. What is your response to this?
Well, thank you very much, my brother. Now, with regard to the pregnant woman, I would say the alleged pregnant woman. I'm saying alleged because you have to be furnished with evidence that indeed there's a pregnant woman, woman among the accused persons. But let's put it record straight. Now, some accused, some people were arrested, suspects. We decided to charge them and then we put them before court yesterday and today. Yesterday, when the case were called, about 2 days ago, in the matter that we are alleging that there's a pregnant woman, before the court, counsel for that accused person never made it known to the court that one of his clients was a pregnant woman.
Mm.
But we're taking the step to verify from the police whether indeed in the statement that accused person volunteered, she indicated that she was pregnant. The answer is no.
There's no such person the in custody?
It is the duty of counsel for a pregnant accused person to make it known to the court. And the court, in deciding whether to remand or grant bail, may take into consideration that factor. I'm saying may because it's not mandatory. However, when it comes to sentencing, after an accused person has been convicted and is about to be sentenced, if that person is a woman, then by law, the judge is enjoined to inquire into the, whether the, that accused person is pregnant or not. In this particular case, the issue of pregnancy came about only after that accused person had been remanded into custody.
Mm.
And so, if that information don't come to the attention of the court, we must rather blame the accused person or her lawyer, because as counsel, that is our duty to bring to the court all these pieces of information.
Mm. So is it your understanding that, I mean, so the pregnancy is yet to be verified, or there's no truth to that matter?
We are verifying. If indeed there's a pregnant woman, maybe we have to look at it once again, but we need to verify. As I said, if that information has come to the attention of the court has taken that one into consideration.
Honorable, the former president, John Mahama, the running mates, Amnesty International, CDD, all of them appears to be singing with one tune, saying that, I mean, the way the suspects are being treated is just like, you know, killing an ant with a sledgehammer. I don't know what the AG's position is on this matter.
is my simple response. Ghana is governed by laws. And so far as those laws are existing laws of the Republic, we are supposed to go by them. Now, what is the position when someone is arrested? When you are arrested by the police, you are taken to due process, and the police may admit you to bail or within 48 hours produce you before court. In this particular case, that we decided to put this person before court, not somewhere in the bush, not in someone's bedroom, but in a court of law. The accused persons had counsel. They put across their case. The Republic also put across its case. Then the judge, who is mandated by our laws to decide on the matter, decides that the accused person should be remanded. Unless we are saying that Ghana should not have, not give the power to remand or grant bail to judges. That's where we can make those arguments. Even in the advanced world, are we saying that the judges don't have the power to remand or grant bail? So Amnesty International and all those who are making those points, if they can point out to me personally that the court has done something untoward, perhaps we can look at it. In any event, if a court even erred, granted the court has even erred, what do? Due process dictates that you go after, you appeal. But those calling that, I see the court has not done what is expected of it, is something that I disagree, that is not right. We are a nation of law, we must go by the laws of the land. We are not saying that people should not have the right to demonstrate. It is a constitutional right. It is a fundamental right.
Okay.
But that also does not mean that in so doing, you should also step on the rights of others or disregard the public good or the public interest. People should take a look at Article 12 of our Constitution. We have all the rights that we enjoy, but every other we enjoy is subject to public order and public interest. And so, if you want to demonstrate, and then you have to demonstrate from point A to point B, make sure you demonstrate in accordance with law. In terms of the police, how they handle them, I'm here to see any evidence where the police can be accused of manhandling or maltreating those who were arrested. Sometimes we decide to just launch out to rumors.
Okay.
People try to say things and we think that that is the actual position. Let's wait. I understand that someone even filed a petition before the Commission of Human Rights. Let's wait and see. I don't really realize that maybe that is not a position. As I speak, there is no evidence that the police acted outside the RMA.
All right. Thank you so much, Deputy Attorney General Afrechuan Yeboah. I can now take you to the court now where proceedings has ended and my colleague Kenneth Jesse is interacting with some of them.
Any CID here, they will tell you that when bail is granted, the surety just don't show up in court and start signing the bail form. No. They would go to the house of the sureties to check. And also, by practice, they check the homes of the accused. So that's a no-brainer at all. It's a no-brainer. I'm telling you. Verify from an experienced CID. When we say CID, that's usually the investigators of the cases.
Do we have to wait 2 weeks or something can be done for these persons to be released?
Yeah, a lot can be done. So they can be either one, abridgment of the time for the hearing of the case. That is to say, instead of if, we can bring a fresh an application to this same court to explain why the hearing should be moved forward. That's brought before the if, maybe by 1st or 2nd of October. Or a fresh application, we call it repeat application, can be made to the High Court.
There's a case of a pregnant woman that has got a lot of people talking. The Deputy Attorney General has said her lawyers didn't do well by bringing the information to the notice or the attention of the judge. Do you think this response is enough or the state can do more for this particular person?
It's certainly not enough. It's a mockery. The Deputy Attorney General said so. Which one of them? Chia Yeboah or the... It's a mockery. I'm surprised that Mr. Chia Yeboah would say that. What did they see? As an officer of the court, when he saw the pregnant woman, what did he think? What did he think?
He says that the state didn't know.
Yes. And now they've been told. You know, there is a case where a judge gave a very harsh sentence, an unlawful sentence, last year. And the Attorney General himself did the appeal. So let Tunya Yeboah hear that his boss, Godfrey Dami, even did an appeal for an accused person when the sentence was unlawful. So in the same way, once they heard that this opium for a pregnant woman, they are supposed to do the same thing. The same thing. They should be the ones rushing back to the court to ask for bail for the pregnant woman.
Thank you.
The attention of Kenneth Jesse to tell us how it all went down in court today. But from what we are picking, Oliver Vomawo and others who appeared before the court, they've been remanded into police custody for 2 weeks. So the case will be heard again early October. And as you heard, the lawyer Martin Pribu said they might apply for an expedited hearing. We'll wait to see how that would unfold, and we'll see if we can take you back to the court for the wrap of what transpired in the courtroom today with my colleague Kenneth Jesse. This is a pause here on Joy News. Again, we'll take a short break and return. Talk about illegal mining, because the Pharmaceutical Society of Ghana is worried that illegal mining activities could have devastating consequences for the manufacturing of drugs in the country. President of the society, Samuel Kwal Donko, says the contamination of water sources through Galamsey could lead to the importation of water to support production of pharmaceuticals. He says the production of essential pharmaceutical products depends on access to good quality water. Nana Bwachi Yadom has more in this report.
The Pharmaceutical Society of Ghana has expressed deep concern over the increasing threat posed by illegal mining activities to the country's water resources. Speaking at its annual general meeting, the president of the society, Samuel Kwal Donko, lamented the contamination of water sources by illegal miners, noting it could lead to the importation of water for local manufacturing purposes.
It is undoubtedly one of the greatest threats to public health we have ever confronted. The activities of illegal miners, in particular, have devastated our water bodies, making it increasingly expensive for pharmaceutical companies to treat water for the manufacturing processes. Ghana currently enjoys self-sufficiency in local production of infusions, but illegal mining threatens this achievement. I'm proud to say that all the local manufacturers put together in this country can produce all the available situations we need in Ghana. And they need water to do that. They need good quality water to be able to produce these situations. If this environmental degradation continues, we may soon face the grim reality of importing water to support our local manufacturing industry. The pollution from these mining activities is so severe that expensive technology is often required to treat the water, which would be contribute to the high cost of medicines.
Presidential Advisor on Health, Dr. Anthony Nsia Asare, indicated the measures are being instituted to curb illegal mining activities to enhance local production.
There are laws which are in this country. We will make sure that those laws apply. But the fight against galamsey or mining or illegal mining is a holistic fight. Everybody should be on board. So we are calling on everybody, including all the political parties, where the major one, to put their signature under a document. So that together we all work together. If you remember, we were almost there in 2020. Until some other people went and go to the galamsey sites and said that, when you come back, we will make you do your mining and all this. This is not what the way to go. Chiefs, the clergy, the individuals, the citizens themselves, and the government, all political organizations, CSOs, all come on board and we find the illegal mining.
Meanwhile, the Pharmaceutical Society has expressed a deep concern over the shortage of pharmacists in the public sector due to government's freeze on recruitment.
First, the shortage of pharmacists within the public sector is a critical concern. The large number of pharmacists by the government took place in 2020, when only 300 pharmacists were employed among 51,000 healthcare professionals, which represents less than 1% of all healthcare professionals recruited in 2020. This is an affront to the universally acclaimed concept of multidisciplinary approach to healthcare.
Kuma Umahini, Berima Safo Chinebu Akudria, who represented the Asantehini, entreated the government to meet the financial needs of pharmacists.
It is not only unfair, but counterproductive to withhold or delay their rightful earnings. Zero. I strongly urge the government to prioritize and expedite the immediate payment of these pharmacy sales officers. Their services have been rendered, and it is time they receive what is owed to them.
For Joy News, Nana Bwachi Dankwe Yadom, Kumasi.
We will stay with illegal mining because we'll take you to the Western region where there's been some development. Some women in Ewusieja, a community in the Hunter West municipality of the Western region, have resorted to using aluminium sulfate, commonly known as alum, in an attempt to purify water polluted by illegal miners for domestic use. Beyond the hidden health risks posed by this chemical, women and children in the town are also experiencing skin irritation after bathing with the contaminated water. As part of Joy News' series on the first of galamsey, we take you to Ewusieja, where the Butri River, the main source of water for the community, has been severely polluted by illegal mining activities. Erosus Ayodonko has more in this report.
The Butri, a once clean water source serving the water needs of Ewusieja, Hutopo, and surrounding communities, is now a murky, poisoned river flowing like a plague through the Ahanta West community. But many, like this woman in towns like Ewusieja, have few alternative sources of water due to pollution from illegal mining for gold.
The rain doesn't rain, you won't get water in the well. You see that the water will finish in the well, you go, you won't get water to fetch. You won't get water to fetch. You go for it. Because you don't get water inside the well, what do you do? You want to wash too. So you go and fetch it and then use the alon, and then you use it to wash. Because of the med, no? The med, no? The galamsey med, no? You can't use to do anything unless if you take and wash alone.
Some have resorted to fetching water from the polluted Butri River. They mix it with aluminium sulfate or alum, a water clarifying chemical sold commonly in provision stores in the town. They wait for the suspended particles to settle and the cleared portion is then separated for domestic use. Our testing of water samples from the Butri River at Ewusieja registered 0.341 milligrams per liter for arsenic and 0.147 milligrams per liter for cadmium. This is an increase of 582% and 194% compared to the World Health Organization standard of 0.050 milligrams per liter. Aside the hidden dangers of using the cleared water, the women told us they get skin irritation when they bath with the water.
We use the same water for bathing, but the chemicals in it are causing skin rashes. The alum makes my hand itch whenever I put them in the water.
Reporting for Joy News, Erastus Asaredonko, Ewusiejo, Western Region.
All right, so let's focus now on a matter that dominates discussions this morning. It's still a very big issue across the country. When the Mortuary Workers Union embarked on that strike this morning, now we are getting development on it. Let me bring in Richard Kofi Jordan, General Secretary of the Mortuary Workers Association. Mr. Jordan, good afternoon and welcome. So what decision have you taken?
Well, as we speak, at exactly 3 p.m., leadership of the Mortuary Workers Association had a constituent meeting, and we agreed that we are going to keep the strike in abeyance. Government yesterday, after meeting government, they wanted 2 months up to November ending for them to be able to resolve all the matters we have raised. We thought otherwise, thought that they had 4 years and they were not able to resolve them. So we have given them 2 weeks. Starting from today to the 9th of October, 2024. If they are not able to resolve this matter, then on 10th of October, 2024, we start the strike again.
So, as of this very moment, you've called up the strike?
We are keeping it in abeyance, not entirely called.
Meaning you are back to work?
Yes, we are back to work, and we have directed all our members to do the same.
And the strike is on hold at least for the next 2 weeks if you don't hear anything positive from government.
It is on hold for the next 2 weeks or up to on the 9th of October. If by the 9th of October we even have one person who has not been sorted out, we'll trigger the strike again.
So therefore, I mean, the understanding is that you are now undertaking your services 100%.
Hello?
No, I'm saying that the understanding everybody should get is that at least from now to the next 2 weeks, where you review the action that you took this morning, everything is back to normal, at least for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, everything is back to normal. All families or those who have lost their loved ones can go and take their bodies from the morgue. And those who have deliberately died these days can also be preserved for whatever.
Somebody decided to die?
Yeah, people decide to die. Haven't you seen somebody taking petrol or somebody taking poison before?
So,
a decision to die.
So, the commitment that you got from the Fair Wages Commission...
The commitment from Fair Wages and other parties in government was not anything that triggered us to keep the strike on hold. Because they are asking for 2 months, which is up to November. And the November end, you know what is going to happen in this country. You are not even going to get anybody in the office to even endorse anything. Because November ending, the next week we're going to start voting. So we think that commitment was in bad case. Our decision is that we want to allow them 2 weeks to be able to. So we declare our strike. Of course, they don't dictate to us what to do. We are telling them that we have 2 weeks. We are giving them 2 weeks to resolve them. If by 9th of October they are not able to do that, then we trigger it again. And this time round, it will not be a half day. It could be so many days.
Okay. So three issues that you are demanding: the provision of PPEs, salary issues, and of course clearance to recruit new members. Which one are you getting immediately?
Hello.
I'm saying that the three issues that are your
demands. The four issues.
The PPEs. Yes. Are you getting the PPEs now? Because that I'm sure
the
can be provided.
The PPEs is not negotiable. So that is immediate.
Right.
Every facility ought to provide it now. It's not negotiable. It's unfortunate that we are talking about it. But the most important issues which we think must be handled between now and October 9th is the provision, is our coronavirus allowance or whatever bonus our salary arrears and that of the financial clearance. These three things ought to be sorted out between now and October 9th.
And you are firm in your conviction that government will, for the first time, work.
In fact, it is that mistrust. That is why we're saying that the 2 months they are giving us, we are not going to buy it. They wanted 2 months. We are no more trusting them to do what they promised. Of course, they have promised severally and they have failed. 4 years down the line, with the same promises. So we are now giving them our timeline. Instead of them giving us timelines, we are not giving them timelines. If they fail, we trigger it from 10th October. If they fail, we trigger it ending. If they fail, we trigger it first week of November. If they fail, November ending, we trigger to first week December. We are no more afraid of anything. We shall exercise our rights as guaranteed by the Constitution. Right. No one is above the law.
So, as we speak, Mr. Jordan is back to work.
We are back to work. We have directed our members to do same. We also direct you that your loved ones that you have, you can go take them and bury peacefully.
All right. Thank you so much. Kofi Jordan is the General Secretary of the Mortuary Workers Association. And the news this afternoon is that after meeting with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, they decided to put on hold the strike action for the next 2 weeks, hoping that government will meet their four demands. And if that is not met, they will escalate the strike. This is your election headquarters. Well, the governing New Patriotic Party says it hopes to reclaim the Famina parliamentary seat and boost its votes in the upcoming December 7th election with a decision to retain.
Kamala Harris's plan will bring food costs down. Donald Trump, he'd impose what is effectively a national sales tax, a Trump tax that'll cost a typical family $3,900 a year. We need a president who fights for us.
Paid for by Harris for President.
Second Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Andrew Amwakwesiama, as a parliamentary candidate. Now, during a unity rally at Dompuase in the Famina constituency, MPP Vice Presidential Candidate Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh called on party members to forgive past grievances, unite and work together in the interest of the party.
The unity rally in Dompuase marked the beginning of an intensified effort to secure a decisive victory for Dr. Mahmoud Oubawumia and Andrew Isiama Emwaku, who in 2020 won the parliamentary seat as an independent candidate. Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh emphasized that the MPP's anticipated win in the Famina constituency depends on peace and unity, urging members to join forces and campaign vigorously for the party.
And the party did not have the accountable chairman, that the other chairman from who did not have the accountable. And Chakra, Dr. Mahmoud Oubawumia, you were there. Oba Famina. A very fair. So Oba Famina. Not Philip. A good one, sir, God, if you don't know, baby. Not Philip. A good one, sir. A top off.
Dr. Opoku-Prempeh appealed to supporters to fully back Isiama in his quest to retain the Famina seat for the NPP on December 7th, noting Isiama's ongoing support for the party in parliament. On his part, Andrew Amwaku Isiama reaffirmed his commitment to lead the NPP to a resounding victory in Famina.
Yes, I have a fear that you have a fear at first from Kosovo,
Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempe also cautioned voters in the Ashanti region about the risk of voting for the National Democratic Congress, the NDC.
Well, that's our show for today. But for more stories, log on to our website, myjoyonline.com. So it's on myjoyonline.com. Bakavomawo, 11 other protesters remanded into police custody for 2 weeks. Now, the existing processes for cleaning voters' register not fully utilized to justify forensic audit. That's from the Electoral Commission to the NDC. And of course, we are too obsessed with corruption fight. Let's focus on real development. That's the GCPP's Dalate Jr. I've got some of the beautiful stories on myjoyonline.com. Well, that's it for today. Right, that's it for today. It's always exciting having you on the pulse. Whatever you are up to in the hours ahead, I hope it's profitable. My name is Elton Bobby. More stories on Joy 99.7 FM, Top Story News Night, and of course, Joy News Prime. Until then, keep the faith alive. Take care.